Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. We're back here a day late, but we had to really digest this crazy game. 4-4 draw against Man City. It was back and forth, beginning to end. Chelsea, go behind, they lead. Last minute, it looks like Rodri puts Man City over the edge, and they're going to win it. Cole Palmer slots away a last-minute penalty to secure Chelsea a draw. A crazy, crazy game, an all-time Premier League classic. And I have Peter here joined on the call, I guess you can say, here to talk about it. And Peter, how are you? And give us your initial reaction to this crazy affair.
I'm doing well. And I mean, my initial reaction is just like you said, we had to take a day to digest it, and I don't think I still have properly digested it. That's how just insane of a game it was. I think that's honestly up there for, that's probably going to be game of the year. And that might have been, that's probably been the most exciting Chelsea game in forever. I mean, maybe not the most exciting results wise, because obviously you would have liked to somehow get a win there. But I mean, drawing against the treble winners who you probably upgraded over the summer, especially with the form we're in. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Just everything about it is great. I mean, so many players played well. Everybody played well. I mean, if our marking was some of the worst marking I've seen in my life, but if we had a competent ref, I think we actually could have won that game with how well we were playing. You can make the case that we deserve to win that game. I think you could with how well we were playing. And I mean, I'm not going to say that City's goals weren't good, but I do feel like this result is a bit undeserved, but obviously it is what it is. You know, it ends up being a draw, and tell me coming into the game that we're going to get a draw against City and I'd be happy. And I was very much happy with it because it's just so fun. Our team is so fun to watch when all our players are playing well. Like Sterling. I mean, when Sterling is at his best, you can't defend him. He just goes by you. And he just hasn't been at his best for a while. He has games like this where he just looks like the best player in the world. And then I'm sure next game he's going to go back to being, you know, how he has been for a while. But I mean, it was just so fun to watch. It's just so exciting. And hopefully, I mean, we said after Arsenal game too, hopefully we can use this momentum and just kind of keep building on this. And then, I mean, see if we can play like this at this level against a team of less quality than Arsenal or City and maybe snatch a win.
Yeah, and I think the main thing that gives you confidence here is that they've been able to compete with these teams, right? It felt like kind of before that, even if they got the result, maybe they got a draw, whatever it may be, against some of these top six teams, it felt like they really weren't in the game at all, even despite that result. Here it feels like, you know, they were on the front foot at good portions of time, and, you know, they were able to do things. So I think that was, you know, promising for them and promising for this Chelsea team. And I think going forward, like you said, this can't do anything but build confidence, especially when you go toe-to-toe with one of the world's best at this moment. And that's what Man City are. Granted, I don't think they were the best on the day that they could have been, but really, it was still an impressive performance from Chelsea back to front. Particularly that midfield trio, Enzo, Caicedo, Gallagher, really controlled that game against the Man City midfield, which is hard to do against players of Man City's caliber in that position. So I thought they were the real heroes, the unsung heroes of this game. They really controlled the game from Chelsea, whether it was defensively or going forward. They were probably the main reason that they were able to stay in this game and really compete.
And I mean, we keep saying his name, but I think you have to just say Cole Palmer again had another great game. I mean, obviously, to be able to step up and take that penalty to tie it up there with them complaining to Anthony Taylor for about 3 minutes, you know, which is just delaying it and letting the pressure build up and just still slot it away is so impressive against their former team. And I mean, it's not like that was the only thing he did. I mean, he had that one play where he literally dribbled through past five Man City players at least and just couldn't finish it, which I think is always the story of Chelsea, is that we just can't finish even though when we have these great moves. But I mean, it's looking like a bargain. I don't think any of us were the most excited about his signing. I think we're kind of just like, okay, do we really need him? But I mean, he's been so good for us. I mean, it's it's always fun when you can actually see the players you sign for large amounts of money perform well. And I don't think Palmer's had a step wrong since he's gotten here. And I mean, he's now called up to the England side. I saw, I'm pretty sure, earlier on Twitter, right?
I did not see that, but I'll take your word for it. I actually have not been very active on Twitter for the first time in a very long time for God knows why.
I'm envious. You know what?
You know why, Peter? You know, my other love, you could say, the Giants, had a very bad day yesterday. So I really don't want to see anything about them. And my Twitter is half filled. It's actually a third and a third and a third, I'd say. My Twitter is a third Chelsea, a third Giants, and a third Brooklyn Nets. So, you know, one of those thirds really, really is in pain right now. So I want to take a step away. So that's really why I did not look. But I'll take a look in a minute and confirm what you said, or you can look or whatever. But
you want to stall for a bit while I look?
You know what, Peter? It's the perfect time to take a quick break. So can you confirm for us, is he on the England national team? Did he get called up?
He did. I can confirm I was right. I didn't make it up. I didn't fall for a fake account or anything. Nope. He did get his first international call up. So did Rico Lewis from Man City. So I guess Southgate decided to just go with a bit more youth this time to replace the injured players. But I mean, I think that even proves his price tag even more if he's already getting reps with the senior squad. And I mean, he's still so young. Obviously, he's talented. So yes, you like to see us finally having some good business after, you know, everyone's been hating on us for the $1 billion spent with nothing to show for it. I mean, it's not like Enzo and Casado are nothing to show for it, but I mean, now we have someone who we can really, really, really show for it. And I mean, it's fun to prove people right also.
Well, here's what I will say. I know there's a lot of rival fans that are calling him a pen merchant and, you know, this and that, because he's all four of his goals so far for Chelsea have been pens, I believe. But you do have to take into account, he also has four assists right now. So four games, or how many games? I think it might be six games, four goals, four assists. So a very good start here on the stat sheet and also off the stat sheet on the eye test for Cole Palmer. And he's just so calm on the ball. The way he kind of is able to almost slow the game down in front of him is definitely something that you just can't really teach. And he has that natural ability. And I think he's going to be a really promising player for us going forward. And you mentioned Sterling. When Sterling's at his best, Sterling is one of the best wingers in the world. When he's at his best, like I've said twice now in a row, because that's really important. When he's off his game, he's sloppy, he's not clinical, and he could just kind of be a detriment to your team. But when he is really, really at the top of his game, he is so, so important. And then Nico Jackson, the other guy on the, you know, in the front three there, you know, he's been pretty solid for Chelsea overall, not as much in the final delivery, I think you could say, or the final finish. But he's been a good player, I'd say, so far for us. But I'm really excited for, you know, we've been hinting at this forever, but for when Nkunku comes back, and hypothetically you can have a Cole Palmer, Sterling, and Nkunku front three, or you can have Nkunku maybe come in for Gallagher or something like that and have him play kind of behind the striker. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be very exciting to see him come back. And also, I thought what was really fun about today is, yesterday, I guess, when the game actually took place, we're recording this now, but seeing over these past few games, Reece James obviously being kind of eased back into action, and seeing Malo Gusto and just being able to have Malo Gusto come back or come on for Reece James and not just be terrified of any Reece James injury or whatever it may be, because we have him available, has been really, really pleasant as well. And overall, a lot of positives to take away. You did mention the marking was bad. There was definitely a few lucky goals. Obviously, the Rodri one was off Thiago Silva and kind of deflected into the other side of where Sanchez was diving. So rough one there. But overall, I thought Chelsea played really well, and I was very happy with it. So, one more person. I feel like I'm Peter going on forever now, but Robert Sanchez had a pretty good day as well. He made a couple of key saves that kind of kept Chelsea in it when they were down also. So, important all around, a lot of good performances. And ideally, you don't want to concede four goals, but when you're able to score four as well, which has been the more concerning part for Chelsea, that's a big positive.
Exactly. Like, we're not going to go up against a team that has Haaland and also the referee trying to get Haaland to score more goals every game. So if we can score four goals every game against a team with Man City's quality defense, I think that is the bigger takeaway. And I would just want to, I don't know if there's anything else you want to say, but I just wanted to reiterate more about the spending, because I finally feel like it's justified, and I finally feel like other people can see this justified. But I mean, it just shows the depth that we have when we're able to bring on Mudryk. We're able to bring on, I mean, Broja in this game, obviously we didn't spend money on him, but the fact that we're able to bring him on, he comes on, wins that pen that Palmer converts. We were able to bring on Ugochukwu when we wanted to go more defensive, like you said about Malo Gusto. And I mean, we still, like you said, Nkunku's coming back from injury, Lavia maybe eventually will come back from injury and we'll be able to upgrade even more in that midfield. It's just, when you have this depth, and you don't have to worry about injury. I mean, you have to worry about injuries when you have like the 10 injuries or something we have now. But we have such good players all across the squad that we're able to draw 4-4 against City, even when we don't have our strongest side. I think you can see where this club is heading. I get it's been tough, and I probably will continue to be tough for the rest of the season. But you can't deny that there's a clear vision, and you can see in this game. This game is a perfect example of what we can be when we're at our best. And that is clearly a side that is just as good as treble winners, which, I mean, I would take winning the treble, I think, if that is what this $1 billion spent can do for us. And I think it can, because we looked just as good as them, if not better. I think soon enough. I don't want to make a certain time frame, because obviously that never ages well. But soon enough, I think we're finally going to see even more, results for our suffering that we've had to be through this last season and a half.
Yeah, and I'll run through the stats real quick since Josh isn't here. Chelsea shots 17 to 15, shots on target 9 to 10, possession 45-55. So overall, pretty even all around. And Chelsea, with that result, are now top of the second half of the table. I got you there. I got everyone there. In 10th place with 16 points. They are 10 points off the top four. Which is Spurs with 26 points, who did actually lose this weekend, and 9 points off the top five, with Aston Villa there in fifth. The upcoming schedule for Chelsea, obviously we're in this very tough stretch right now, international break, so we're probably not going to be back till after Thanksgiving for us, for everyone in the U.S. or for anyone who celebrates. The 25th of November, Chelsea will be taking on Newcastle. And then we kind of get into that busy stretch. We've got Brighton, Man United, Everton, and then Sheffield, and then the EFL Cup draw against Newcastle once again before the Christmas festivities. Peter, is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap this up?
I think I'm all good. I've done enough rants. I've hit my quota, so I'm all good.
There we go. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod. And we'll see everyone next time after hopefully another Chelsea positive result, and hopefully this time a win against Newcastle, who are, as much as they are a good, solid team, they are struggling at the moment with a couple of defeats in a row. So hopefully we can get a good win after Thanksgiving upcoming. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time. Peace.